May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did you know that the word conspire means to breathe together? All right, here we go. Take a breath. Now blow it out. There. We've just launched a conspiracy. We can hear the word spirit in there too, to conspire, to be filled with the same spirit, to be enlivened by the same wind. What happens between us when we come together to worship God is that the Holy Spirit swoops in and out among us, knitting us together through the songs that we sing, the prayers that we pray, and the breaths that we breathe. It can happen to two people. It can happen to 2,000 people. It can scare us or comfort us, confuse us or clarify us. But as far as I can tell, the Holy Spirit never bullies us. We are always free to choose whether or not how we respond. Disciples who had not believed themselves capable of tying their own sandals without Jesus discovered abilities within themselves they never knew that they had. When they opened up their mouths to speak, they sounded like Jesus. When they laid their hands upon the sick, it was as if Jesus himself had touched them. In short order, they were doing things they have never seen anyone do but him, and there was no explanation for it, except they had dared to inhale on the day of Pentecost. They had taken in God's own breath, and they had been transformed by it. The Holy Spirit had entered into them the same way that had entered into Mary, the mother of Jesus. And for the same reason, it was time for God to be born again. Not in one body this time, but in a body of believers who would receive the breath of life from their Lord and pass it on, using their own bodies to distribute the gifts. The book of Acts is a story of their adventure. In the first books of the New Testament, we learn the good news that God did through Jesus Christ. And in the book of Acts, we learn the good news that God did through the Holy Spirit by performing artificial resuscitation within a room filled of well-intended bumblers and turning them into a force that changed the history of the world. The question for us today might be, do we believe in God with power to transform us, both as individuals and as a people? Or have we come to an unspoken agreement that our God is pretty old and tired? Someone who we may address through our prayer requests, but not anyone we can expect to change our lives. Of all the persons in the Trinity, I suppose the Holy Spirit is hardest to define. Most of us can begin to describe God, Father, Mother, Rock, Shield, Creator of heaven and earth, and God, the Son, Redeemer, who was human like us, our Savior, Teacher, Helper, and Friend. But how do you describe the Holy Spirit to a three-year-old? Jesus said, "The Spirit blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from, and you do not know where it goes." As I was preparing for the message this morning, I learned something new about the early cathedrals that were built in the Middle Ages. They built those before the Bible was put into print, so they had to describe the information in some other way. So the cathedrals were even more than a massive open Bible with biblical stories painted on their ceilings and expressed in their stained glass windows and portrayed through icons and statues. They acted as the center of community life. It was a place where people could come. If they had no place to sleep, they could come and feel safe. The custom of painting heavenly scenes on the Great Dome, though, involved something else. Not only for visions for them to look at, but during the service of Pentecost, some able bodies climbed up on the roof, and at the appropriate morning during the liturgy, they would release live doves down through a hole that had been made in the very top, and the doves would come flowing down among the people. And then, after the doves were flying around, the next time through the holes would come rose petals, hundreds and thousands of them. I really wanted to have a bushel and just throw them. Sorry, Bob. Throw them out this morning, but I just got one rose. It's amazing how many petals are in one rose. They called the openings in the sky in the medieval churches Holy Spirit holes. Imagine the mystery, the majesty, the power which that service brought into the lives of the people who were there that day. Can you imagine the same kind of spirit breath? Breathtaking power and vitality blowing down from the ceiling of our church today? Can the Holy Spirit get through the fire-cold crawl spaces and the tiles that are up there and the bricks that are fashioned to that? Well, I don't know if the Holy Spirit can come down to the ceiling, but I have a strong sense that the Spirit is moving among us. 7 task force for VCI have been formed or are beginning their work. New drums are being creatively played during a Sunday morning musical expression. Our landscape is beginning to have beautiful expressions of God's creation planted around it. And the youth are preparing and working toward their mission to ventures to Henderson end of June. And something new is happening in children's ministries. Susanna Brennan has offered to share a spirit moment with us this morning regarding the ladder, which she has been very instrumental.
Good morning, Garden Park. On this day where we celebrate how the Spirit of God moves within us, it is my privilege to share with you this morning a bit of that which has happened here within our church home. Over the past few years, many families of the church have shared in conversation about how desperately the children's spaces needed to be revitalized. This past January, a few of us, fueled by the Spirit, set out to propose just that. We called it the Narden Park Kids Revival. And with the approval of the trustees, we began to transform the godly play areas, breathing new life into the spaces where the children gather. By doing this, we honor the children who come regularly to Narden Park, who want to continue engaging in the church, and we prepare for the children who are yet to come, allowing them to feel welcomed, vibrant, and energized helps them to create and to strengthen their roots at Narden Park and take pride in their church home. With teamwork, shared vision, the creative gifts of many, and patience, today I am proud to report that every wall has been painted, the cove molding in the hallway replaced, tack strips on the walls removed, and new blinds have gone up in the classrooms. Even the bathrooms have been transformed. Our own Grace Menning designed the new Narden Park Kids logo, which you will see throughout the building, but which also holds the center of our radiant sunburst, one of the new refreshing focal points of the upstairs hallway. 2 decals with colorful Bible verses adorn the walls, reminding the children to be brave in their adventures as God is near, and to be proud of being young followers of Christ. An interactive wall focuses on gratitude. Each time passing provides an opportunity to reflect on something you are grateful for, to write that token on a bright piece of paper, and to attach it to the gratitude web. Over time, we will begin to visually notice how small amounts of gratitude can impact our lives, adding color and joy, helping us to be expectant and aware of blessings. Glowing in the hallway is a phenomenal wooden cross made completely out of recycled pallets and handcrafted by Matthew Krieger. Multicolored changing lights illuminate the cross from behind, providing interest, beauty, and an opportunity to pause to those passing by. It is beyond a statement piece. It is a gift and a pure example of what happens when the Spirit moves. Ideas form, develop, magnify, and come to life. And when that happens, one cannot help but stand in its midst and be amazed. And the children, oh, you should hear them. They are proud of their new space. One child just this week wrote on her gratitude token that she was grateful for the sunburst wall. Others have been seen standing and admiring the photos outside the elevator, looking for their faces and chatting about their friends, feeling at home in this place. Some have led their families from downstairs back upstairs to witness the lights of the wooden cross changing. And countless people who have walked through the hallways, peeked into the rooms, and felt the energy in this space have commented on how refreshing and bright it feels. I invite you to journey through and feel it for yourself. This is the power of the Holy Spirit moving. It begins in one place, perhaps in one heart. But when we listen and we feel the flame and we fan the flame and we share the flame, we cannot contain it. It grows, connecting human to human, heart to heart. It transforms the world around us by changing how we see, how we feel, and how we live. It brings us alive.
Incredible, Susanna. Thank you so much for speaking for so many people. I've chosen to close with some thoughts, both inspired and yet also challenged by the words in today's anthem, which was totally incredible. And yes, the refrain of the closing hymn, every time we feel the Spirit in our hearts, I will pray. I will pray. Prayer. I wonder what goes through your mind when you hear the word pray. Or when the facilitator at a meeting says, is there someone who would close us in prayer? Is there a right time to pray? Is there a right way to pray? In Altars in the World, Barbara Ann Taylor concludes her chapter on the practice of being present to God with these thoughts. Since I'm a failure at prayer, I keep an altar in my room. It is really an old vanity made of rosewood with fancy scrollwork around an oval mirror and a small stack of drawers on either side. At worst, I think of it as a piece of furniture that I offer to God as a substitute for my prayers. At best, I think of it as a portal that stays open whether I go through it or not. I keep some icons in it and a lot of candles. When people ask me to pray for them, I write their name on a piece of paper and put it in a small brass box that's in front of two paintings, one of Jesus and one of his mother. Although Mary is looking lovingly in her son's direction, She occupies her own space, which I like. Mary is more like me than her son is, after all. Both of her parents were human. She was born and died the usual ways. What was unusual about her was her reliability. No matter what life pitched to her, Mary didn't duck. She endured a difficult pregnancy to bear a singular child, whom she loved reliably through all of the years of his controversial life. When her son was cut down, she was there. When it came time to prepare his body, she was there. When he was not in the tomb, she was there. As much as I hate to presume her reliability, I know she will always remember the people whose names I have placed in the brass box, even if I forget. Most nights after the altar sits there, holding all of the pictures and the wicks and the names, then comes a night when I'm in deep need. I have a deep fear. I have a deep thanks. I have a deep want, either for myself or someone I love. And I light every candle on the altar. It takes me at least 10 matches to get through them all. And then, yes, even then, I burn myself. When I'm through, I sit back on my heels and try to take it all in. The mirror behind the candles doubles in their glow, and the icons catch the light, pitching it back and forth. I can see my reflection through the flames, though only dimly, since the mirror is an old one and has lost much of its shine. Prayer overtakes me there. I'm utterly swamped by the presence of the Holy. I would bend my head to the ground if I could take my eyes off the beauty. As it is, I do not even know for sure if I'm breathing. The altar is giving me more life than I know how to ask for. I can no longer tell the difference between need and fear and thanks and want. In this light, I see how they're all faces of the same sparkler. I see how they are all faces of the same love. This answer to prayer is so far beyond my doing. I cannot find the words to forswear my own input. All I did was light the candles. Did God find me, or did I find God? Hush, the time for words is past. Amen.